Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. We're going to go to chapter 14. Book of Romans, chapter 14. And we're going to start at verse 1. So if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And I'll read the first 8 verses. God's word says this: accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we ask here this morning, Lord, that this scripture be unveiled to us. Father, may your truth just be known into our hearts. And Father, I just humble myself as the person that you have appointed to declare your word to your people here at Beech Grove Church. Father, I certainly hide behind the cross. I certainly want to decrease. Father, may your word increase here this morning, and may you be glorified in all that is said here. Have your Holy Spirit certainly stir in our hearts here today. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. The very first day that I preached here at Beech Grove Church was October 21st, 2007. I came prepared with a 2-part sermon for 2 reasons. One, you would invite me back to hear part 2. And 2, so you would come back to hear part 2. The message that I'm going to present here this morning is also a 2-parter. Hopefully I will be back next week, but my prayer is that you will be back to hear the remainder of the story. It's an interesting topic we're going to talk about today. I would certainly hope that once we start our journey as a Christian, we would also have a strong desire to grow as a Christian. As we listen to sermons, as we attend Sunday school, and as we read our Bible, we should find ourselves learning more about and understanding the mind of God, because that's what the Word of God is. A few examples. We can learn about the origins of the universe and the origins of other things by reading the book of Genesis. We can learn the history of God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, if we read the Old Testament. We can learn how the prophets declared God's word, and then we can read about how those prophetic words came true by reading a lot of the prophecy. We can learn about Jesus of Nazareth, God incarnate, and how He was a lamb to be sacrificed for the salvation of all who would believe. And we can read about how this world someday is going to come to an end in the book of Revelation. Another one of those many areas we can learn about would be the area of sin. In Matthew 15, we can read a list of sins that Jesus says makes a man unclean. In Romans chapter 1, we can read a list of sins that come from a depraved mind. In Galatians chapter 5, we can see a list of sins that are the acts of the sinful nature. And in Revelation, we can see a list of sins that send a person to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Most of us are probably pretty familiar with those infractions, and we know that those infractions are displeasing to God. But what about those things in life that we encounter that are not specifically defined in the Bible? Those things that are neither moral nor immoral. Those things that are neither righteous nor unrighteous. Those things that are neither good nor bad. Those things that are neither black nor white. Those things that are just there. These things would include such issues as, and they are listed in your bulletin, food, drink, recreation, television, movies, books, magazines, sports, Sunday activities, cards, games, dancing, smoking, hairstyles, clothing styles, music styles, Christmas trees, etc., etc., etc. I'm sure as you were growing up that one or several of these issues were very important in your home, and you remember exactly what those rules were about those things. And if you attended a church that was considered fundamental, you probably what that church said about those issues and what those rules were also. I remember growing up in a Catholic family, Catholic school, Catholic church. I could not eat meat on Friday. But on Friday nights, when we went to Grandma's house, there was never a shortage of Iron City beer for all the adults who wanted to indulge as much as they wanted to indulge. But just don't eat that bologna sandwich. I know of a church that, once upon a time, had a rule that forbid dancing. Later on in the years, that church said, you can dance as long as one foot is on the floor at all times. I was once part of a youth ministry, and I was the worship leader for this youth ministry. And one evening, we were having a youth lock-in at the church, where all the teens and the youth leaders were locked in the church. I had my guitar, and I was chastised by the youth pastor for playing Hotel California. (Laughter) in Russia. Crossing your legs in a church service is not a very spiritual thing to do. So where does the Bible stand on these issues? In the NIV translation, in Romans chapter 14, verse 1, the Apostle Paul calls these issues disputable matters. And it's a rather appropriate name because people have been disputing these matters for centuries. And there's going to be two extremes. I want to cover the two extremes here this morning on these disputable matters. In this corner over here, you have the legalists. And the legalists have a list. And their list consists of every imaginable situation, every imaginable activity, and every imaginable object. Each situation, each activity, and each object is clearly defined and categorized to its degree of offense. When a situation arises, this person just needs to consult the list. There is no need to consult the Lord for these people on these issues because they have the list. These people love law, they love judgment, and they love the Old Testament. In the other corner, over here, you have the libertarians. They do not have a list, nor do they even know that one exists. Their favorite hymn is Calvary Covers It All, with the emphasis on all. They would rather ask for forgiveness than for permission. For them, there is no need to consult the Lord on these issues because they have freedom in Christ and they're going to do what they please anyways. These people love freedom, they love grace, and they love the New Testament. In this portion of the scripture, Paul is addressing this issue here in the book of Romans because you have this newly formed thing called the church and this new religion called Christianity. And it's made up of Jews and it's made up of Gentiles. The Jewish converts were probably brought up in a very conservative and legalistic type manner. They would probably fall over here on this side. On the other hand, you have the Gentiles, who were probably brought up in a very carefree and liberal environment. These people had no laws to speak of. The Jewish people over here, that's all they had, was laws. And what you have is you have this group of people and this group of people who are now coming together to form this thing called a church. And you have them together. And they bring their old ideas into the church with them. Well, Paul is saying that when you become a Christian, you have freedom in Christ. Well, that leads to one of two different things. Possibly, quite possibly, this Jewish convert over here says this: I'm just so used to the law that this is the way I have to operate my life. I have to have the list. The Gentile convert over here can say, oh, I have freedom in Christ? Well, that's a good thing, because that's exactly the way I want to live my life, is free. Sometimes you have just the opposite happen. The Jewish convert over here says, you mean I have freedom in Christ? I don't have to abide by all those laws? and they are the most carefree, set free person in the world. They can't wait to exercise that new freedom that they have in Christ. And sometimes you have the Gentile convert who was over here that had all that freedom that now becomes a Christian that says, I need guidelines. I need to know what's right and wrong. I need the list. But you have issues that fall kind of in between somewhere. And Paul hits the nail on the head when he calls these issues disputable matters, because these two extreme groups, they're disputing all the time. The list people, the people over here, they think that the freedom people over here, they push the spiritual envelope way too often, and they abuse grace. Today, a list person would say something like this to the freedom person. How dare you put up a Christmas tree? A Christmas tree is symbolic of a pagan holiday. They would lay down that law because they love law and judgment and the Old Testament. On the other hand, the freedom person, he thinks the list people push the guilty button way too often and they abuse the law. Today, a freedom person, this person over here, would say to the list person something like this. Oh, go ahead. Go to the bar and have yourself a hamburger or and a beer or two or three. It won't hurt you. They both think the other is a very bad example of Christianity. Now, that you know that there are two extremes, the list people over here, the freedom people over here, and you have your list in the bulletin of some of what the disputable matters might be, I guarantee that you just did a self-examination of those two sides, and you found yourself leaning to this side, or you found yourself leaning to this side. Didn't you? Somebody help me out here. Didn't you? You're somewhat over here because you like lists and you like laws and you like that judgment thing, or you're over here and you like freedom and you like grace and you like the New Testament and you just want to do because you want to exercise your freedom in Christ. So which side is right? Is it these guys or is it these guys? Well, the correct answer is neither. Neither side is right. Let me share with you a personal example. My friend Paul, he was a genuine brother in Christ. One day we were in my car and we were going out to KFC for lunch. And I went by his where he worked and I picked him up and we were going to KFC. And I put a CD in my CD player. And it was some oldies music from the 60s and 70s. Well, I put the music in, turned the volume up a little bit. Yeah, Mike, he's there. He's just jamming right along with the music. So I was having a good time. I enjoyed the music. These are the songs I grew up with. You know, the old Eagles and the Beatles and the Doobie Brothers and stuff like that and the Motown. You know, I'm listening to this stuff and I'm really getting into it. But my friend Paul, he was offended. I could tell. He just sat there and he didn't even have to say a word. I could tell he didn't care much for the music. So who was right and what should have been done? Well, when it comes to disputable matters, we might find that every situation calls for a different answer. And what I want to do is, I have several questions, about six of them, that a person should ask himself or herself when they are confronted with a disputable matter, such as I was confronted with playing the music. So what are those six questions? You ready for some good news? Come back next week. Come back next week. As I was reading Ecclesiastes this morning, this week, there's a time for everything. And there's a time for the rest of the sermon. And the rest of the sermon will be next Sunday. Right now, I think we need to enjoy each other's company. And we need to enjoy a whole lot of food that a lot of people have prepared over there. So with that, let's go to God in prayer.